But we're going into a new topic, and there's a reason these things are called hot potatoes, because as I was preparing for them, they really are hard questions. And this next one is, what about other religions and those who haven't heard about Jesus? And just to start with the story is, in my former life, I was a computer technician working at UC Berkeley, and I made the transition from leaving that job to starting in full-time ministry, doing college ministry at UC Berkeley. And all my coworkers were really happy for me, but twice I got the comment that went like this: "Oh, John, we're so glad you're doing a good thing. You believers are okay with many paths." It says, "Religion today in the USA is a salad bar where people heap on upbeat beliefs they like and often leave out the veggies, like the strict doctrines behind. The survey that they took found that U.S. adults overwhelmingly believe in God. 92% of U.S. residents believe in God. And 58% they pray at least once a day. But the study's authors say there's a stunning lack of alignment between people's beliefs or practices and their professed faiths. So people say they believe in a certain faith, but how you look at their lives, they don't match up because they're picking and choosing from their faith and other faiths to pick what they believe. 70% say many religions can lead to eternal life." And this is an interesting thing. It says, "Exclusivism, which is one religion having the absolute and exclusive truth, has gotten a bad name in America today." So the argument goes like this: Buddha, Allah, Jesus, they're all the same. What does it matter what we call it? And your outline, if you take that out, here's the belief that we hear often. And it says this: all religions are just different legitimate attempts to discover God. To claim that one religion is the only way is exclusive and oppressive. So just to take a look, how many of you guys have heard a form of that before? Yeah, it's pretty common, right? Do your own thing, believe your own thing, but don't say your way is the way. You need to leave room for many paths. So the argument's like this: there's only one mountain, but there are many paths up to the mountain. You just choose your own path. I want to tell you what I like about this belief, even though I'm going to say what's wrong with it. What I like about it is it just does feel very open, doesn't it? Like, oh, just do what you want. There's just kind of a thing of acceptance. But there are some problems with that as well. And I want to share three observations. This is in your outline. The first is that this belief shows an unawareness of religions. This belief shows an unawareness of religions. It's really easy to say all religions are basically the same as long as you stand far, far away from them and don't look at them that carefully. It's almost like saying all people from a certain race look the same. When someone says that, it means they don't really know that many people from that race. And we often say that about religions because they look the same as long as you just stand far, far away and don't look closely. But when you get close to them, you realize how different they are and how it really is impossible to say that they all lead the same path. If you take a closer look, you realize they say really different things. They say different things about God. Some faiths say there is no God. Others say there is. How they talk about God is very different. Some faiths say that God is separate from the world. Others say God is in the world and he's part of nature. What religions say about Jesus? Some people say Jesus is God. Other religions say, no, Jesus was just a man or he was a prophet. How you live your life, all those things, there's lots of contradictions. So it makes it really hard to say that they all are the same. Not only that, but what you believe about God really affects how you live. What you believe about God really affects how you live. For example, Mother Teresa is a good example of this. When she saw the poor and the dying in Calcutta, she had to do something. She believed in a God who cares about the poor. She saw that Jesus spent most of his life healing and teaching and caring for the poor, so Mother Teresa's view of God affected how she lived, and so she began to start a shelter in the shadow of a Hindu temple for people who are dying. She then took the dying to comfort and love them in their last hours. She embraced those who were considered untouchable by the Hindus. And here's why. I'm not trying to be insensitive, but Hindus believe that whatever state you're born in life is because of a previous life. So if you're born poor, it probably means you deserve it because you did something bad in the previous life. So Hindus, it's much easier to overlook the plight of the poor because it's easier to say they deserve that because of something they did. Mother Teresa believes in the God that is passionate about the poor, cares about the poor, and wants to help the poor. And so because of what she believes about God, it totally affected how she lived. So what I want to say is what you believe about God really does affect your choices. It's not just this theoretical thing, but it affects the day-to-day about how do you live. In Islam, there's a clear distinction between the status of men and women. So men are allowed to have multiple wives because it's not equal. Jesus, when he came, he lifted up the status of women, and so he lifted them up so you have to treat genders equally. So what you believe about God and how he sees things really affects how you live. Does that make sense? So I want to be open-minded. I think open-mindedness is a really good character quality. I want to understand all religious viewpoints, but I don't want to be so open-minded that my brains fall out. I don't want to be so open-minded that I'm not thinking anymore and I have to overlook a lot. Open-mindedness really means to sincerely attempt to understand and care about different people's religious viewpoints. But it doesn't mean you have to accept all of it. You want to weigh the truth of them as well. So the first thing I notice is that this belief shows an unawareness of religions. The second thing is this belief tends to justify one's own behavior. This belief tends to justify one's own behavior. Because when you believe that all different paths really lead to the same God, what you tend to do is pick and choose from different faiths. And what I have found in my experience is people pick and choose according to their own lifestyle to justify what they're doing. People rarely pick things from faiths that actually challenge their behavior, but they'll pick things that they already agree with and they're already living. So often people who pick and choose are ending up just justifying their own behavior and not letting God really challenge their life where it's at. Number three is this belief is inconsistent. This belief is inconsistent. No one, when people say every way is an okay way, all paths are okay, when you really get down to it, no one really believes this in its entirety. I mean, when people say it doesn't matter your faith, it's all okay, I want to say, okay, so you're okay with the Aztec faith that killed kids as sacrifices and used women as prostitutes in the temple. Are you okay with that? Most people do have boundaries as to what is right and wrong. In fact, I would say that all of us, no matter what your faith or lack of faith background is, we all believe there is one right way, and we all believe that one right way is our way. I mean, when it comes down to it, we all believe that we have the right way, and we wouldn't say it, but we'd really like it if other people lived the same way we did. So everyone, in some sense, believes that there is one right way. In fact, in this USA Today article that came out, it says that 78% of the people surveyed say that there are absolute standards of right and wrong. People really do believe that. And in some sense, everyone has a particular way of living. So you don't have to worry about saying that Jesus is the only way, because everyone believes that there is one good way, one right way. Everyone has their only way. So the question is, with all these different beliefs, all these religious systems, it can get very, very confusing. So the question, the bottom line question, this is big question number one. It's who will you trust to reveal God accurately? Who will you trust to really show you what God is like? There's a myriad of options out there, but the question is, which one are you going to trust? Who are you going to trust? I would like to argue that that person is Jesus. If we're going to trust someone to show us what God is like, I'd like to say that person is Jesus. Now, I want to just show you a little bit how I used to work on college campuses where people talked about these issues all the time. And people would often come up to me and say, how can you say that Jesus is the only way? That's arrogant and exclusive. And here's my response. I'll say, I didn't say that. Jesus did. You have to decide whether you believe him. So what I like to do is I like to deflect the question, because it's not really me that came up with this. This is something that Jesus said about himself. And so I want to point people to Jesus and say, Jesus said this about himself. I want you to meet Jesus and figure it out if you agree with him. Is he telling the truth? And that's the question. Is Jesus telling the truth about himself? Now, here's what Jesus did. He would go around and both in subtle and obvious ways tell people that he was God on earth. Now, I want to say, if one of you came up to me and told me the same thing, I would think you were loony, that you were crazy, that you should probably take some medication or see a doctor. And some of you have met those people who say that, you know, those kinds of things. But Jesus would say that, and the strange thing is that people didn't think he was crazy. They actually began to take him seriously. The way he acted, the things he did, made it very hard to write off what he was saying and call him crazy. This is very different. Jesus is very different than other spiritual teachers, because other spiritual teachers would often point what they thought were ways to God. They would say, hey, do this and this will take you to God. Do this and this will take you to God. But Jesus didn't do that. And this is in your outline. Jesus kept pointing to himself. Jesus kept pointing to himself. He said, I am the way. Follow me. I am the center. Now again, if one of you said that to me, I think you're arrogant and cocky. Because it really is pretty arrogant to say something like that. To say, hey, I'm not pointing you to God, I'm pointing you to me. You've got to realize the radicalness of what Jesus said. This is also just really different than other major religions. In other major religions, the teacher isn't all that important. It's the message. So Confucianism is a set of teachings. If Confucius never existed, it wouldn't really that matter that much, because it's about the teachings. In Islam, Muhammad was a prophet, a messenger, who wrote down the Quran. But if he disappeared and it wasn't part of it, the Quran's still there. Muhammad's not that important. Buddhism emphasized the principles of Buddha, but not Buddha himself. Hinduism doesn't really have any historic founder. So Jesus is different because he's saying, it's not about my teachings, it's about me and who I am. He keeps pointing to himself. Let's just look at some of these verses as examples of that. These are in your outline. I'll just read these along. And as I'm reading these, think about what you would think if someone came up to you and said this about themselves. This is from John 6:40. For my Father's will is that everyone looks to the Son. These are all quotes from Jesus. Everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And Jesus says, and I will raise them up at that last day. It doesn't say God, but he says, I will raise them up on the last day. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus isn't saying, hey, follow these teachings, but he's saying, it's about me. I am the light of the world. Then he goes, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And you know what got people so angry about Jesus? Here are some religious teachers talking. They're saying, we're not stoning you for any of these, referring to his miracles, but for blasphemy. Because you, a mere man, claim to be God. Do you guys understand the radicalness of Jesus, what he's saying? He keeps pointing people to himself and saying, I am God. I am the one. Follow me. Perhaps the most radical thing he did is he kept calling himself the Son of Man. Let's look at this verse. But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, and he forgave someone's sins and healed him. Now, Jesus kept referring to himself as the Son of Man in the Bible. If you read the Gospels, he kept talking himself as the Son of Man, which is a strange title. I think that title comes about 80 times in the four Gospels. And you think, what is he talking about? Why is he calling himself that? But the Jewish people of that day would have heard him say that and know exactly what he was talking about, because he was referring to an Old Testament scripture in Daniel. And let's look at what that says. This is Daniel in a prophecy saying, I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming. And he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. Jesus is talking about himself. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which will not pass away. And his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. So Jesus is calling himself the Son of Man, and he's referring to this, and he's saying, that's me. I'm the one that every nation will bow to. I'm the one that's going to oversee the kingdom of God. And so the religious leaders are hearing this and saying, how can you say something like that? That's blasphemy. You can't do that. You've got to be like the other religious teachers that point the way to God, but you are saying you are God. How can you do that? Jesus made such a convincing case that he was who he said he was, that when Peter started teaching about Jesus, he said this, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. So this is what I want to teach you guys. When people have issues about Jesus being the only way, this is the line. You want to say, I didn't say that. Jesus did. Deal with him. Let's rehearse that. So the line is, I didn't say that, Jesus did. Deal with him. Ready? Let's say it. I didn't say that, Jesus did. Deal with him. Okay? Because Jesus is the one being controversial. He's the one that's irritating people. And why that's good is because we're doing the same thing Jesus would want us to do. We're pointing to Jesus. We're saying, deal with Jesus. He said these things about himself. You need to decide, is he telling the truth about himself? That's something for you to do. And so that's the question I want to ask you guys. And this big question number two is, who do I say Jesus is? Who do I say Jesus is? Because each of us need to answer that question. And if you're here and you're still checking things out about Jesus, we are so glad you're here. And one of the challenges I have for you, because I care for you as a pastor, is you're going to need to answer that question. Who do I say Jesus is? You owe it to yourself to make an adult decision about the identity of Jesus. You owe it to yourself to read about Jesus and ask yourself, is he telling the truth about himself? Because if he is, the implications are huge. They're huge. They affect everything. They affect everything in your life and the world. Who do I say Jesus is? Because if what he says about himself is true, it affects everything. Now, I want to just deal with some of the big questions that come. Because if Jesus is who he says he is, which I believe, that he is God on earth, that he points people to himself, that he's highly controversial, then there's some issues that come up. And the first question is this. Isn't it exclusive to believe that Jesus is the only way? I mean, isn't that just narrow-minded and exclusive? And the answer originally is yes, but then when you look at Jesus, you realize that Jesus got into trouble because of who he included. Jesus got into trouble because of who he included. Luke 15:2 says this, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man, Jesus, welcomes sinners and eats with them. I wasn't going to read this because I wanted to save it for later, but I think it's just appropriate. So I'm just going to read this song called Breathe Deep. I won't sing it to save you the pain. But it's called Breathe Deep, and it talks about the inclusivity of Jesus through God. It goes like this. Politicians, morticians, Philistines, homophobes, skinheads, deadheads, tax evaders, street kids, alcoholics, workaholics, wise guys, dimwits, blue collars, white collars, warmongers, peatsnicks. Breathe deep. Breathe deep the breath of God. Breathe deep. Breathe deep the breath of God. Suicidals, rock idols, shut-ins, dropouts, friendless, homeless, penniless, and depressed. Presidents, residents, foreigners, and aliens. Dissidents, feminists, xenophobes, and chauvinists. Evolutionists, creationists, perverts, slumlords, deadbeats, athletes, Protestants, and Catholics, housewives, neophytes, pro-choice, pro-life, misogynists, monogamists, philanthropists, blacks and whites. Breathe deep. Breathe deep the breath of God. Breathe deep. Breathe deep the breath of God. Police, obese, lawyers and government, sex offenders, tax collectors, war vets and rejects, atheists, scientists, racists, sadists, photographers, biographers, artists, pornographers, gays and lesbians, demagogues and thespians, the disabled, preachers, doctors and teachers, meat eaters, wife beaters, judges and juries, long hair, no hair, everybody, everywhere. Breathe deep. Breathe deep the breath of God. Breathe deep. Breathe deep the breath of God. I want to be honest. If Jesus were physically here in bodily form today, doing the ministry he did 2,000 years ago, and I was following him, he would lead me into social circles that would be very difficult for me. He would call me to love people that are really hard for me to love. He would ask me to include people in my circle of friendship that would really rub me. Jesus' love is so big, so inclusive, that it's almost offensive. And so, yes, Jesus is particular in that we say Jesus is the way, but Jesus is incredibly inclusive. He wants all people to come to him. No matter what your background, he wants all people to come to him. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all of you who are tired and burdened, and I will give you rest." People write about God and they say, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise," as some understand slowness. God is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish. God wants all people to be in his circle of relationship. He wants all people to be saved. And I want you guys to know, some of you are coming in this morning with big burdens on your shoulders, with mistakes you've made, with things in your head you think, "Can God really love someone like me?" And I just want to say, yes. Yes. His love is offensive in terms of how broad it is. And he wants you, no matter what your background, to be in his circle of love and relationship. He wants to forgive your sins, give you his spirit, and make you a new person. His love is broad. It's just amazing when you think of it, that God loved us so much that in his majesty, he sent his son in his home form, in human form to earth, so that he can let people like you and me know that we're included, that he loves us, that he wants us. Jesus wants to include you. So what I say when people say, "Is it an exclusive?" I say, well, Jesus is particular. He says he is the only way, but he's incredibly inclusive. He wants all people to know him. The next question that comes up is, well, why was God so particular with Jesus? Couldn't he have provided like a different way for each culture so that people didn't have to kind of go through this Jesus person? Why not provide multiple ways to meet him? And here's the thing. God's good news, the good news of God, is essentially relational in nature. It's essentially about relationships. So it makes sense that God would choose to make us rely on others to learn about him. See, God's good news is incredibly relational, so it makes sense why we need to depend on each other to learn about his good news. Here's the thing. Jesus, I want to just tell you a little about my story, why I'm a Christian here today. Jesus called one of his disciples, Peter, to follow him. Peter was one of the main disciples, the most outspoken. After Jesus died, rose again, and went into heaven, Peter found a guy named Mark, who he trained up. And Peter and Mark did all this ministry together. Mark was so wowed by Peter and his stories of Jesus, he wrote the Gospel of Mark that we have today in the Bible. Mark was one of the first people to travel to Egypt and start a church in Egypt. And that's why, in my heritage, I have some Christian belief. Because a Jewish guy went cross-culturally to an Egyptian culture and shared the good news about Jesus. That's my heritage. In the 1800s, some British people saw that the faith in Egypt was getting stagnant, the Christian faith was getting stagnant. So people from Britain went to Egypt and taught the good news over again to my great-great-great-grandparents. And that is why I'm here today. And I want to say all of you are in this room because someone somewhere in your life and in your background, your heritage, chose to cross cultures and love people different than them. You're here because someone loved you. Someone loved you. The good news is relational, and so it makes sense why we need to rely on each other. And here's the thing. In our culture, we've replaced the value of love with the value of tolerance. We've replaced the value of love with the value of tolerance. And this is what I mean. The big value in our society is just let people do what they're doing, but don't let it affect you. So you're okay over there doing your thing, you're okay over there doing your thing, you're okay there doing your thing, but let's just not bother each other. But what that does in its extreme is it creates people who are isolated and incredibly lonely. Because we're not getting involved in people's lives anymore. We're just saying, you do your thing over there, but there's an isolation that comes out of that. But Jesus says, no, we are to love people. We're to get involved in other people's lives. We're to include people in our friendship circle. We're to get to know our neighbors. We're to get to know our workmates, even if they look and act different than us. It's about love. It's about crossing cultures. It's about loving those who are different. And when we love like that, it actually creates community. Tolerance, though it sounds good, actually creates loneliness. But love creates community. Tolerance says, you're different than me, so I'm not going to get in your way. I don't want to really get to know you, but you can do your own thing over there. But love says, I'm going to get into your life because I love you. Does that make sense? There's a huge difference there. In fact, the Bible says that the people who share good news are just amazing. This is in Romans 10:15. It says, how can anyone tell them without being sent by the Lord? The scriptures say it is a beautiful sight to see even the feet of someone coming to preach the good news. It is so wonderful when you meet someone who is willing to tell you the good news of Jesus. So my question for you is, are you a loving person or are you a tolerant person? Do you just tolerate people's differences and say it's okay? Or do you actually love them enough to get involved in their lives? Do you love people who are just similar to you? Or is God's love so much in you that you're willing to cross cultures and barriers in our society to love people who are different than you? Don't just tolerate people. Love them. Love them. Love them. All right, now for the hardest question. What about those who have never heard about Jesus? And, you know, when I was preparing for this, this is when I regretted the sermon series. I thought, this is really hard. That was a joke. You can laugh. So, no, this is a good question. What about those who have never heard about Jesus? So the question, just to make clear, isn't what happens to people innocent of sin. The question is, what happens to those who are guilty of sin, who have not had the opportunity to meet Jesus and ask for and receive his forgiveness for their sins? And the answer is four words. I do not know. I don't know. But I can tell you what I do know. That God is just and God is loving. And he's not going to send people away to hell because they just never found out about him. He's going to judge people according to what they know and what they're responsible for. People go to hell because they don't want to be with God. They've rejected his offers for forgiveness. Even Paul, who is one of the great missionaries of the Christian faith, wrote to Timothy and he said this, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. So even Paul realizes that in his days of not knowing about Jesus, God was merciful. He had compassion on him. Now, the question is, if God judges people according to what they know, then why even tell people about Jesus? Why even share the good news? And I want to share three reasons why. The first is because the good news isn't just for the afterlife, what happens when we die, but it's for our life here and now. And there are many people who are really anxious to know God's good news because they're hurting, because they're suffering, because they're wounded, and they need to know that God loves them in the here and now, and they have something for their lives today. In the Bible, there was a man named Cornelius, and the Bible says that Cornelius was a good man. He gave to the poor, and as best he knew, he tried to love God. He knew nothing about Jesus. And so God told Peter to go to Cornelius and tell Cornelius about Jesus. And when Cornelius heard about Jesus, he felt like, finally, I've met the person I've been longing for. It was in my heart. I knew that God must have done something like this. And for you to tell me is such great news. And God just moved on Cornelius and his family. And I believe that there are people in society, there are very few societies that haven't heard about Jesus, but they do still exist. But I believe that God has given people an hunger to know him. And sharing the good news is a completion of what they're longing for. The second thing, well, I guess I shared the second thing, is that people are looking for a completion. The third thing is this. Most people who don't know about Jesus, in fact, all people, have an internal moral code. And they're looking for relief because even though they know right and wrong, they're not following it. Everyone is trying to relieve their guilt. And they try all kinds of things. They'll use work and money and whatever it is to relieve guilt, to somehow get out of their hurts. But God wants people to know that they don't need to do that anymore, that he's taken the punishment and their sins can be forgiven. But the real thing is when people ask this question is this. You know about Jesus. What are you going to do? Yeah, we can point to those, you know, people who don't know about Jesus, but you know about Jesus already. So how are you going to respond to him? Do you know that God sent him to die for your sins? Do you know that he came back from the dead? And that was just a huge thing for people. They thought that he must be God. Do you know that he gives us his Holy Spirit so we can live a new life and have the power that we don't have on our own to do what is right, to love people, to care for people in ways that we've never done before? You know that. So will you respond to him and say, Jesus, I accept your forgiveness. I change my ways. Will you forgive me? I welcome you into my heart. So I want to end with this. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, whether you're a Christian or you're just checking things out, I want you to at least realize the uniqueness and just the unbelievableness of Jesus and his claims. He said things that were highly controversial, but people still believed him and followed him. No matter where you are on your spiritual journey, you've got to at least acknowledge that. Now, if you are a believer, realize that God is particular because he wants to tell others about him. The tolerance is a good thing in that it says, I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to be critical of you. But God wants more. He wants love, where it says, not only am I not going to be critical of you, but I care enough about you to share about Jesus' good news. And when people ask you, hey, how come you say Jesus is the only way? Isn't that exclusive? You're going to say, do you remember? Okay, you guys all said different versions, but I heard it. It was all right. Got the gist, yes. You point people to Jesus. You point people to Jesus. Don't argue with me. Work it out with Jesus. Because that's what Jesus wants. He wants people to come to him and ask him questions. What do you think about Jesus? Who do you think he is? Have you read the Gospels? These are the same questions Jesus asked his disciples. When he was about to die, he brought all his followers up to a hill, and he said, I have a question for you. Who do you say I am? That's the all-important question. Now, if you're not a believer here, if you're not a follower of Jesus, but you're here checking things out, I want to say don't get upset with Christianity about its particular claims, but work it out with Jesus. Read about him. Read the Gospels. Read the Bible and find out. He says all these things. Is he crazy? Is he a lunatic? Because lunatics say those kinds of things. But if you read about him, I'll just tell you now, he doesn't act like a lunatic at all. Maybe he was arrogant. Is he arrogant? Was he just cocky and lying about his identity? You've got to figure that out. But I'll just tell you ahead of time, go ahead and read, but you'll find that he was not arrogant at all. He lowered himself. He became homeless to care for the wounded and the outcast. So you've got to ask, he's either crazy, he's lying, or maybe he is who he says he is. And I want to say, I think that's the truth. And he wants you to know that. And if you're not following Jesus, I want to say this could be your day to finally say, Jesus, I believe you. I believe you're telling the truth about yourself. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me. And for many of you, you're beginning to recognize that Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. And today could be your day to welcome him in and say, Jesus, I welcome you. Come into my life. I receive you. I want to pray right now. I want to pray for those of you who are in that spot right now who need to welcome Jesus in your life. Let's pray. Jesus, what you say about yourself is amazing. It's actually unbelievable. And God, I believe who you say you are, Jesus. And I just stand in awe that you came to earth to show us how to live, to die for our sins, to take the punishment on yourself and give us a new life. And God, I want to pray for those here today who want to finally say, Jesus, I believe you. And if that's you, you can just pray this simple prayer between you and God. You can say, Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I need your forgiveness. Will you forgive my sins? Jesus, I want your Holy Spirit so I can live the life you want me to live. Jesus, I commit my life to you. I will follow you from now on. And I just want to say, if you prayed that prayer, the Bible says the angels in heaven just had a party because of you. They're rejoicing. Let me just pray for the rest of us. God, often we live in a society that's seen so much abuse because of people saying there's only one right way. But God, we don't want to be like that. We want to realize that you are the way, the truth, and the life. But we want the result of that to be that we love people who are different than us. So God, help us cross those barriers and get involved in people's lives and share the good news. Help us be sensitive. Help us understand where people are coming from so that we're honoring them, Lord. But we pray for courage and boldness, that we don't back down on who you are, Jesus. Give us boldness. In your good name we pray. Amen.